The following presentation was recorded live at the River Worship Center in Warsaw, Indiana. We now join the message already in progress.
Been a little stormy here, little thunder bumpers going around, but we're marking ourselves safe from this world of sin and death. You want to know where we are? We're safe. We're safe from God's wrath. We're safe from His judgment. We're safe from eternal damnation. And we're marking ourselves safe in Jesus Christ. Amen? Amen. And that's a wonderful place. We're going to start out tonight. We're going to finish up. This is, remember I told you on Sunday, it was a two-part teaching. And so we are going to start out tonight in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. And if you're using the close Bible, the good Bible, it's in on page 1836. 1836 in the good Bible. Okay. Now, while you're headed there, while you're going there, I'm going to repeat a little bit from Sunday to bring you up to snuff, to bring you up on cue, as it were, to bring you to the current plateau. And remember, we kicked it off with wisdom and understanding. There's a lot of people that think that they have understanding, but they don't have understanding. How many of us have learned things since we became students of the Word, since we became literal disciples? How many have we learned that we weren't taught from our youth? Right? How many of us questioned, why wasn't I taught this in my youth? And even if you didn't come to Christ as a child, when you first came to Christ, how many of us were not taught the things that we've been learning and understanding, and we're gaining an understanding through the opening of the Word, amen? That's why the Bible says of a bishop or of a pastor and elder must be apt to teach, right? You have to have an unction from the Lord. You know, not just everybody, not just everybody can open up the Word of God and illuminate what's there, can shine light on what's there. I've had some professors that were miserable at it. They should have been anything but professors. They were wise, but they didn't have an understanding of the Word of God. They knew the text, and they knew the context, and they knew the syntax, and they knew the structure of the Aramaic and the Greek. But like the old lady that we knew years ago, she knew the author. I'd rather know the author. As I said Sunday, the Bible is the only book, the only writing on this earth where whenever a believer reads it, the author is standing by. Are you there? The author is standing by. And if I said, well, I wonder what that means, all of a sudden, how many of you been in your Bible study and you're reading something, maybe you got concordances out, and I think Vanessa has made me consolidate a little bit. I think there's probably, at last count, there were like 8,000 volumes in my library. I've got them all over the desk when I, it's a mess. You guys wouldn't understand it. You come in there and you say, how can anybody get anything done? And somewhere in that pile is a picture of Einstein's desk, and then you will understand. And so, no, not drawing. Yes, I am. Anyway, all right, so all the concordances, all the dictionaries, all the study guides and helps, and you pull back and you scratch your head and you say, Lord, what are you trying to tell me here? And all of a sudden, it's not in the lightning and the thunder. It's not in the mighty rushing wind. It's not in the earthquake. It's in that still, small voice. How many of you remember the hymn we used to sing? He whispers sweet peace to me. In a still small voice. He's still moving today. He's still speaking today. He's still talking today. And so we need to have a relationship with the author so that we can get an understanding of the work. Amen? Not it doesn't matter, and I'm not begrudging you guys know me well enough, and those of you on the broadcast, you know me well enough. I'm not begrudging professors that spent years and years and years learning, but as Solomon said and taught us in Proverbs 4, verse 1, you don't have to turn there. You're in Thessalonians, so just stay there. In Proverbs chapter 4, verse 1, he says, "Hear, my children, the instruction of a father, and give attention to no understanding." It's not enough just to know the code. There are guys today that are in the gaming world. I don't understand why a guy could be, 30, 40, whatever years old, eating Cheetos in his mom and dad's basement, playing computer games all day. Don't get it. Don't understand it. Because we're not wired that way. Right? There are guys that they buy codes. Do you know that you can buy cheat codes for games to help you win? You can buy them. They sell them. Now, in my day, that was called cheating. And we would never do it. Or if we did, we would never tell anybody. But you can buy cheat codes. And like we talked about on Sunday, or Saturday at the men's breakfast, which is awesome, by the way, one of the best discussions we've had since we started having men's breakfast. The mindset of today is, if it helps me, I don't care where it comes from. It helps me achieve my goal. I could care less where it comes from. If it helps me get one over on my neighbor, I don't care where it comes from. And that is being programmed into these young men who are supposed to rise up and be the leaders. Supposed to rise up. The next generation is rising up thinking that they can somehow buy a cheat code from the God of the universe and they're going to be all right. And it's not true. He said, is to no understanding. He says, "For I give you good doctrine. Do not forsake my law." Again, he's a dad talking to his sons. In verse number 7, he says, "But wisdom is the principal thing. Therefore, get wisdom. And in all your getting, get understanding." That's why we do Bible study. That's why we have Bible school on Sunday nights starting September 11th. That's why we do Bible school. By the way, Bible school, we've got a killer study coming up, but it's not going to be broadcast. You need to be here. You need to be here. If you're, this knowledge that we're going to be passing along is awesome. But you won't get it. Now, I can tell you several other places you're going to get it because Pastor Glenn and I went through and we're making an outline of the book, and everybody's going to use the outline. It's going to be awesome. Again, not a spoiler alert, but I got to get with you on that. But it's awesome. And it'll help you. The first time you get it in and start using it, it makes a difference, doesn't it? And it's not the only tool, but it's another tool that will help us win our friends, relatives, associates, and who doesn't want that? All right, okay. All right. For 2 Thessalonians part 2, we talked about understanding. The world today is without understanding, and most people don't care if they ever understand or not. Most people have been sold a bill of goods. They recited a prayer with a friend, hey, repeat this prayer after me and you'll be in. And what John Bevere called that was the born again club. And they were made false converts. And you know how they were made false converts? Because they never let go of the world. They're still trying to hold on to the world with one hand. Still want to party with my buds. Still want to do this. Still want to, and not getting any closer than the minute they recited that crazy sinner's prayer. Reciting a sinner's prayer does not get you born again. And you know how you can tell? Because you still have a desire for the things of the world. When Jesus comes back for us, he's going to be looking for fruit from your life. What is the fruit of your life? We've been through this a dozen times. The fruit of a believer's life is more believers. My apple tree is loaded for bear. I can't wait to get out there and pick them plums. What do you mean? You guys don't believe my apple tree is bearing plums? Why not? Well, if the fruit of a believer is a believer, other believers, where's your fruit? What fruit are you presenting? And remember, the owner of the vineyard planted you in the vineyard, and he said to the husbandman, listen, these last 3 years I've been coming looking for fruit off of, everybody do this, take your hand, do this. Now curl it, point to this, now curl it over, right there, this tree. And I haven't found any. Why is it taking up space in my vineyard? Why is it robbing nutrients from? Did you realize that you either spur others on to good works or you hinder them from doing good works? The choice is very clear. Either you're an encourager or you're a discourager. There is no middle term. Sorry, Sweden. Yeah, right. Sorry, you can't remain neutral. Right. You're either born again or you're not. And the born-again believer, there will be fruit in his life. Well, some people will say, Elvis Presley. Can I use his name? Elvis Presley built his mama a great big church, a great big cathedral. He said that was the fruit of it. No, it wasn't. That was not fruit. That was a gift. Just like the pink Cadillac that he bought his mama. Jesus doesn't need your money, Elvis. He needs you. Do you realize? Now get this. How many of us have lost friends? We got lost friends. If you're a Christian, you better have lost friends. If you don't have lost friends, then we need to have a counseling session. Do you realize that one day those friends are going to die? And they're going to stand before a living God. And they're going to say, well, Phil was saved. I like Phil a lot. I'm going to say, well, Luke was saved. I was around him a lot. I didn't cuss when I was around him. They're going to say, well, Corey was saved. I seen him in the factory. They're going to say, Vanessa was saved. They're going to say each one of us were saved. But the question that they're going to ask the Lord then is, why didn't they tell me that I would be here? I mean, I would go back and I would tell them, God is love and everybody goes to heaven, and they never corrected me one time, knowing that I was lost. By the way, that's in our doctrine study. We're talking theology, Christology, and anthropology. God, Jesus, and man. And Jesus was the one that said, you must be born again. Amen? Amen. The last days are coming. The last days are here. Mm-hmm. And men are not enduring sound doctrine. That's why we're teaching on the doctrines. Men are not enduring sound doctrine. Men are not enduring. Men are not following the Apostle Paul or the writer of Hebrews letters in Hebrews 10 and 25 that do not forsake the assembling of yourself together. Do not. Let me tell you something. When my mom said do not and my dad said do not, if I did, there was strict and severe punishment for violating an order of my mom. And what do you think the righteous God is going to do? I mean, if God was the one that said that he who spares the rod hates his child, what do you think that the Lord is going to do for those who violate in his inspired word of God, do not forsake the assembling of yourself, as is the custom of some? He knew that some people were going to do that, didn't he? He knew that there were going to be some who really couldn't care less about coming to church, coming to his house. Well, let me just break it right here until we get into 2 Thessalonians. Let me just break it right here for you. Jesus is coming back after his bride, and we believe that the bride is the church. And if you can't stand the bride, then how can you stand him? I'm just throwing that out there. That's free. I won't charge you any extra for that. He's coming back for a bride. And if you can't stand the bride, maybe you're jealous of the bride. You ever see anybody that lose their maid of honor or best man because they got jealous? Anybody ever know anybody? I knew a guy that lost his best man because his best man from their youth said, "Oh man, you'll be my best man. I'll be your best man." And then all of a sudden, time comes for it, and the best man got jealous. "And I don't want to be your best man now." "No, I want to steal your bride away," is what he's trying to say. "But I don't want to be your best man." There's a lot of people in the church that... Well, anyway. I'll let you draw your conclusions there. All right. 2 Thessalonians. Church at Thessalonica had a lot going on. Had a lot happening, and they were concerned. It was a young church. It was not like the church at Ephesus. It was not like the church at Corinth. Just like every one of us as individual, it was individual, had its own concerns as well. Okay, and so as we're going through this, beginning in verse number one. "Now, brethren, concerning the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ and our gathering together to him, we ask you not to be soon shaken in mind or troubled, either by spirit or by word or by letter, as if from us, as though the day of Christ had come." There were people that were going through the church telling them it's too late. He's already come. It's already happened. You've missed it. On the flip side of that coin, we find ourselves in 2022 where he's never coming back. He's not coming. And if he does, we'll deal with him. The Apostle Paul said, listen, don't be soon shaken. Verse number 3, he says, "Let no one deceive you by any means. For that day will not come unless the great falling away comes first." Can I get a witness? Falling away, what's that mean, Pastor? Well, you know, you used to love the Lord and you used to be in church and you used to be about the Lord's business, but now you catch the broadcast when you can. Sorry. A falling away. You can't fall away unless you were once attached. I'm expecting to go home and some of those plums on my apple tree that couldn't hang on in the wind are going to be falling away. And no one can bear fruit of themselves unless they're connected to the vine. And those are going to be rotten, and they're going in just a few days they're going to be softening up, and the deer and the critters and everything is going to be partaking of them. The ones that they couldn't reach up there are now going to be down here. There's a shaking coming, and everything that can be shaken will be shaken, and the shaking has already started. Amen.
Amen.
Is that all right for our Wednesday night? Is that okay? That's not too much, right? Okay. The Lord's just really blowing this thing up. That day's not going to come unless there's a falling away. Let me ask you, those of you who were in church in 2018, 2019, where you at? Where you at? Oh, well, I heard this, and I heard that, and I heard I heard the governor did this, and the governor did that. You know what? As long as we're in America, as long as we've got the First Amendment, the governor can just sit down there in his presidential mansion and scratch his presidential rear end. I don't care. We're going to be in the house of the Lord on the Lord's Day, and we're going to be serving the true and living Savior.
Amen?
Amen? Don't tell me how all those people went to leper colonies and were preserved.
Right.
We serve the same God today. Amen. as they did back then. Amen. He's the same today, yesterday, and forever. Amen?
Amen?
He never called us to build bunkers. He called us to build His church.
Amen.
His body.
Right.
We've got to be about our Father's business.
Amen.
A 12-year-old Jesus taught that. Unless the great falling away come first. And the man of sin is revealed, the son of perdition, who opposes and exalts himself above all that is called God or that is worshipped, so that he sits as God in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God. I was talking with one of my Jewish friends, Hasidic Jew. They are looking, when the Messiah comes, that one of the signs is he is going to call fire from heaven like Elijah. Now, it's taken about 4,000 years. But the prophets of Baal have been learning. And when that son of perdition comes, the Bible says he's going to do great miracles and wonders in the sight of many and draw fire from heaven. If you're not looking, if you've not learned, then you will follow after him. Remember what Jesus said? I'm going to paraphrase. He said, they're going to tell you that I'm in the desert. Don't go out there. They're going to tell you that I'm here. Don't go there. They're going to tell you, he said, many are going to come. They're going to be false Christ. And yet there are. He said, there are going to be wars and rumors of wars. Do you know one thing that's been meditating on and studying on the last couple of weeks? When all this happens, Jesus said, as it were in the days of Noah, as it were in the days of Lot, they'll be buying and selling and marrying and giving in marriage. It's going to be business as usual. It's going to be an every day. Just like every other day, buying, selling, marrying, giving in marriage. And then the rain started. And then a trumpet sounds. You see, everybody thought Noah was an idiot until that wet stuff started drenching their hair. He looked like a fool in the middle of a desert place. What you building there, preacher? Well, I'm building this ark of safety. The Lord told me. He said, me and Ham, Shem, and Japheth. Oh, okay. Need some wood for that? I got some good cedars. No, sorry. The Lord said only acacia wood, and I can't have any bark. Well, you know, I got some good tar. No, I got to pitch it within and without a certain way. Boy, your God is really weird, ain't he? Your God is really, boy, he's putting all kinds of things on you. You ever think he was tempted to give up? How long after about that 120-year span where Noah preached, how long do you think that he was thinking about, man, I'm just going to quit. I'm just going to abandon it. Lord, you know what? These guys ain't buying it. I don't even think my family buys it half the time. Them daughter-in-laws are mine. I just don't know. You know why you don't know? Because they weren't mentioned. All right? We know one of the sons was a rascal because his son, anyway, you've read the story. You've been through the story. Not everybody in the church is a saint. And that's the way we like it. Because if you're not right, I want the opportunity to help you get right. If you're not right, if you're not born again, if you're playing church, boy, if you've ever had an opportunity to get right, it's now. It's time to quit playing. The days for playing are long past. We had some people today that were in an automobile. They had just been in Kosciuszko County, and they were headed home to South Bend. And they went out of this world. One of them we know, we've heard the testimony, was prepared to meet God. I hope the rest of them were. But it's hard to say. I hope they were. I'm assuming by the witness that she left us, that she left around them. And I'm hoping and praying. Can I get real serious with you for a minute? Recently, you guys realized that last Wednesday we laid my uncle to rest. And it seems like every year now, for about the past 5-6 years, my family is shrinking. My earthly family, right? Because many of them have gone on to be with the Lord. Every year. And I started talking with our cousins, and our cousins are like, look, we're losing uncles and aunts. We're losing them left and right. Do you realize that it's our time to rise up, church? Amen. It's our time. My grandfather, who inspired me dearly and deeply, his time has come and gone. His block has been laid. Remember what John Bevere told us? We're building God's building, block upon block. And God laid the foundation. He set the cornerstone. But the Apostle Paul laid his blocks. And as you go on through history, we see men like J.C. Ryle. We see men like Jonathan Edwards. We see one after another, they've laid their row of blocks. And here we are at the precipice. Here we are standing on the edge of eternity. And we are finishing God's house. I would God that there were some Nehemiahs in the house that take trowel in hand and sword in the other and say, I'm going to finish the work. It's not good for the house of God to lay in ruins. It's not good for the house of God, the temple of God, to be in ruins. I wish God would burden the hearts of men today. They say, there's still a work to be done. Amen. I've still got lost friends. I've still got lost family. Lord, burn me. I dare not go to sleep tonight unless I petition God for their soul. As Spurgeon said, if they choose to go to hell, that's on them. But if they do, let their footprints be on my back and their claw marks be on my arms, where I tried everything in my power to stop them. That's what it's about, church. somebody told you. And that's why you're here. Somebody told me. It's our job. It's our obligation to tell someone. Amen. All right. Verse number 5. Do you not remember that when I was still with you, I told you these things? And now you know what is restraining. We know what is restraining. That he may be revealed in his own time. For the mystery of lawlessness is already at work. Only he who now restrains will do so until he's taken out of the way. And then the lawless one will be revealed, whom the Lord will consume with the breath of his mouth and destroy with the brightness of his coming. But God is love. Let me read that again for those of you who are confused. And then the lawless one will be revealed, whom the Lord, does your Bible say Lord? Is it capitalized? So that just doesn't mean Lord Blankenship, does it? Talking about a particular Lord. Talking about Jesus. Right? Will consume with the breath of his mouth. Now, that's not like Luke and Connie's little Annie. Because she'll try to lick you to death. She'll try to lick you like you're a lollipop. That's not what he's talking about. Consume with the breath of his mouth. You want to know what he's talking about? Well, you have to go back into the Garden of Gethsemane. When Judas Iscariot, that poser, who was with Jesus for 3.5 years, the best teacher, best pastor, saw every miracle. John said they were not all recorded. Said if everything that he did was recorded, the earth doesn't have enough volumes to contain it. And here is Judas Iscariot, who is also called a son of perdition. Birds of a feather. When Judas brought the mob and the soldiers to Jesus, and he went up and he kissed him in the garden. Why a kiss? Why did Judas kiss him? Why couldn't he have just said, "This is the guy"? Only someone in a relationship can get close enough to kiss. It's still cultural in some churches here in America. I can take you to a church now where they greet each other with a holy kiss. Dudes, right on the lips, buddy. Take you there to this Sunday. If they're having church, because sometimes they rotate and go to the other church. I think it's every once a month they have church. In Eastern culture, it's still Middle Eastern culture, it's still a thing. French culture, well, forget about that. Only a dear friend and trusted friend gets close enough to betray somebody with a kiss. You see, I don't think he liked Peter that much. I don't think he cared for James. I don't think he cared for John. I don't think he cared for Thaddeus. I don't think he cared for any of those. I don't think he cared for the other Judas. I don't think he cared. He only cared about Jesus that much. Matter of fact, I think if Judas would have tried to kiss Peter, Peter would have put the sword on him instead of Malchus. Just throwing that out there. That's me. That's me. That's my own personal. Got to tell you, that's my personal interpretation. After Jesus said, Judas, you betray me with a kiss. He turned to the mob and he said, "Who do you seek?" And they blared. They had soldiers with them. They had guards with them. "Jesus of Nazareth. Check it out. I am he." And they fell away like dead men. That's the breath. Make a connection with me. Jump with me. Track with me. That's the same breath. And they got up, but there's coming a day. There's coming a day. "Who do you seek?" And with the breath of his mouth, he's going to consume not only the Antichrist, but all of those who were playing church, all of those who were playing the hypocrite, all of those who dressed up real good, but their hearts were far from me, all of those who draw near to me with their lips, but their hearts are not near me. Depart from me. Matthew chapter 7. Depart from me because I never knew you. "Well, Lord, we sang for you. We cast out devils in your name. We did this. We did that." Who's doing that? It's not lost people. Matthew chapter 7 is written to people in the church. People who are playing church. "Depart. I never knew you." And unfortunately, there'll be no cheat codes available that day. Unfortunately, there'll be no do-overs. You see, it wasn't Noah that shut the door to the ark. It was God. Now let me throw something out here, you guys. Your Bible says when the fullness of Gentiles has come in, that means we're numbered. We're grafted in. We're a wild branch that's grafted into the true vine. But when the fullness is come in, even if you don't die for another 50 years and the fullness comes in tonight, where will you be? You see, I still believe that somewhere in this world that there's a man or woman, boy or girl, and the minute that they give their heart to Jesus and are born again, that they repent and turn, the minute that they are born again, the fullness will become in. I believe that. I believe that's what the Scripture says. And not only the breath of his mouth and destroy with the brightness of his coming, who can stand in the light of the Lord? The coming of the lawless one is according to the working of Satan with all power, signs, and what's your Bible say there? Lying wonders. Lying wonders. That's why we don't follow the signs. That's why these signs shall follow them who believe in my name. We're not out looking for a sign. We're not following signs because I've seen some really weird stuff. Jesus said, don't go out chasing that. He gave us the way because he is the way. He is the truth. And he's the life. Amen. With all unrighteous deception among those who perish, because they did not receive the love of the truth that they might be saved. Isn't it amazing? You think about this. I've got friends that I can talk Scripture with. Well, what do you think about this? What do you think? And I'll answer their questions. But the minute that we get off the historical passages or the eschatological passages, the minute that we get into Jesus, either hearts are convicted or people are offended. Why is it that the only name given to men, given among men under heaven, whereby we must be saved, either brings conviction or offense? And then what Jesus said, I didn't come to bring a sword. But in the last days, people are going to be offended. Many are going to be offended. Offended at the only hope. Offended at the only one. Offended at the Lord. Right? I pray that you're not offended. I pray that you've not put up a firewall in your life, as it were. I pray that you're not talking the talk, but not walking the walk. Jesus said, I would that you would be hot or cold when I come back. But if you're lukewarm, if you're tepid, if you're undecided, I'm going to puke you out of my mouth. Literally, it means puke you out, not just poo. I was thinking about this the other day. I was out mowing on a hot August day when I was a youngster. And Dad saw me on the tractor, saw me. Man, it was just hot, man. It was just, you'd sweat just pour. And you remember them Tupperware cups that were like tumblers, you know? Way back before everybody had a Yeti or a Yada Yada or whatever. Tupperware. You know, the cup of champions. And my dad brought out this, and I could see in the humidity, I could see, oh man, the condensation forming on the outside of the cup. And it was a yellow cup, and I'm thinking, oh man, water. God bless you, Dad. Oh, it's awesome. And so I made a circle, and I come back around him, and he's holding it out like they do at the Tour de France. You know, my dad wasn't very tall, right? So he's holding it out. And I didn't even slow down. I just reach out and grab it. And he was just watching me. And I turned a corner, and I took a big old swig of that. Except it wasn't water. It was unsweetened grapefruit juice. You could trace the pattern of that lawnmower chasing my dad back around the house. You're expecting water. Cool. You see the glass, the condensation on the outside of the glass. You're thinking, my dad would never do anything like this. The minute that hit my tongue and the first parts of it hit the back of my throat, it was like, pfft! Not in here. And that path wasn't straight. I mean, you could see. He took my mom out there and said, look what your son did. Look how crooked he mowed that lawn. And he couldn't hardly stand but laughing. My tongue and my olfactory senses knew that did not belong in there. Right? Grapefruit was meant cut in half in the morning for breakfast with this much grapefruit and this much sugar on it. That's grapefruit. Right. Not in a cup pretending to be cold water on a 100-degree day with 100% humidity. You only laughing because you knew Dad. And you could see him doing it too. Okay. You see, the Lord's expecting a cool drink from you. He wants you to be hot or cold. How about we make it our determination to not present him any surprises? Let's don't be lukewarm. Matter of fact, if I may suggest, if I may offer, let's get on fire for Jesus. Amen. Amen. Let's get on fire. It's reported of John Wesley. People were coming from all around to see his meetings. And they said, what is it that you do? Why? How are these big crowds? They come and they come from miles and miles and miles to hear you and to be ministered to. What are you doing? And he said, I just set myself on fire and people come to see me burn. May I challenge you tonight? Set yourself on fire with the Word of God and the Spirit of God, and watch people come see you burn. Amen? Oh, I'm out of time. Oh, where did time go? Lying wonders, and with all unrighteousness and deception among those who perish, because they did not receive the love of the truth that they might be saved. I've got verse number 11 highlighted, and I've had it highlighted since I was a child. For this reason, God will send them a strong delusion that they should believe a lie, that they all may be condemned who did not believe the truth, but had pleasure in unrighteousness. Let me conclude. We started this out by talking about understanding. The Lord asked Peter, have you been with me so long and you still don't understand? He said, get understanding. And then he opened their understanding. What that means is that not everybody who hears, reads, sits in church, prays, understands. But the Lord is no respecter of persons, and He will open your understanding. Get understanding, Solomon said. Get wisdom. If you don't, the Apostle Paul told the church at Thessalonica, if you're not able to receive the love of the truth, that you might be saved, you're in danger, you're in jeopardy of being turned over to that strong delusion. You say, I can't believe God would do that. All you've got to do is go back into the book of Exodus and read. There were five different plagues. Five times Pharaoh hardened his heart. Five times God hardened his heart. The last one was up to Pharaoh. What you going to do? Pharaoh had had 10 chances. But the last one, let my people go, or else it's going to be the death of the firstborn. Let my people go. What you going to do, Pharaoh? What are you going to do tonight, world? Here it is, August. The writer says, summer is past, and we're still not safe. Understanding or delusion? What's it going to be? Father, I thank you for these folks, and I thank you for those joining us on the broadcast. Lord, I pray tonight, it is my earnest prayer that we would choose understanding. Lord, that we might come. Lord, that we might love the truth. Give us the ability to love your truth, that we might be saved. For Lord, there's a strong delusion, and it's already permeating the land. It's already darkening the land around us. People in delusion, thinking that they're serving God, but they're not. Thinking that they're in love with Jesus, but they're not. Lord, I pray. Holy Spirit, I pray that you convict hearts. Lord, I pray that you give us ears that we might hear and minds that we might understand, and spirits that might, souls that might be receptive to the pricking of the Holy Spirit today. And then, Lord, give us the courage to come alongside those who are wandering. Come alongside those who you have pricked and say, we have the answer. Let me tell you of a man that told me everything about me and still loved me. His name is Jesus. Lord, it's in your name we pray. And everybody said, amen, amen. God bless you. If tonight...
Thank you for listening to today's message. If you have any questions or would like to reach out to us here at The River, you can email us at study at riverwc, all one word, .org. Again, that's email to study at riverwc.org. God bless you.